So 200 years, or almost 200 years, it's an awfully long time. What kind of changes does this study reflect?
Yeah, so, I mean, I should say we didn't invent time travel to be able to look at 200 years. we were actually looking at museum specimens. So museums have an amazing collection in Australia of nests that have been collected for a really long time. So, we had a look at these nests. Our oldest one was from the 1830s. And what we found was that there was increasing numbers, I mean, maybe not surprising, but increasing numbers of nests that had human materials in them. Now, of course, we actually did find some very old nests that had human materials incorporated in their construction. But these materials prior to, say, 1950, predominantly consisted of things like newspaper strips and things like cotton and fabrics and stuff like that, which was also kind of interesting because you could kind of read a little bit of a news clip from, you know, the 1880s if you wanted to in the nest. But then after about the 1950s, I think at 1954 might have been our first one that we found, or 1956, we found a nest from Melbourne that had the first piece of plastic that we saw in the study incorporated in it. And it was all sort of downhill from there in terms of the plastics and other non-biodegradable human materials that were being incorporated. Up to, you know, by 2018, which is our last nest that we looked at, up to 30% of nests that we found had plastics and other rubbish in them.
What are sort of the more common materials, the more common unnatural materials you're finding in more modern nests?
So in the modern nests, what we're finding are a lot of polyester string type materials. So whether that be fishing line, or often we would find what looked to be polyester threads from clothing. So it's like the birds would still use clothing, but now the way that we made clothing had changed. So instead of things like cotton and wool threads that were incorporated in old nests, we found things like nylon incorporated in new ones, and even pieces of floss and things like that. In terms of stuff that kind of emulated twigs, we found a lot of things like metal fencing and even things like coat hangers incorporated in nests.
And does this sort of cause, like, really a major issue for the species that are involved in putting the nests together?
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, it's kind of like, oh, wow, the birds must be very innovative. You know, they must be constructing these really amazing nests full of full of cool things. But there actually has been research that shows that this kind of stuff can pose quite a danger to nest residents. So things like getting entangled, it's similar to marine species that come across things like fishing line and other plastics. The two main dangers are entanglement and then indigestion, essentially. So getting tangled up and then having injuries to legs and limbs, even amputations from polyester strings. And then, you know, accidental ingestion or the, you know, ingestion of plastics by predators that are trying to eat say, eggs or nestlings, and getting a mouthful of plastic, which isn't great either. So, and we do know that this kind of thing can have devastating consequences to those birds.
In terms of policing something like this, I suppose we've seen some, you would hope, strides in terms of less plastic utensils, less plastic straws and all that kind of thing being used. But obviously you mentioned all these artificial fabrics as well. So is there really, looking to the future, a way of policing this, policing the trash better, so these kinds of things don't end up in birds' nests?
Yeah, I mean, we did find quite a bit of single-use plastics as well, a few strips of plastic bags and things like straws and such. But I think it's also just a matter of the fact that the birds are finding this stuff readily available in the environment. So, you know, they're not going into your drawers, and they're even not usually going to your washing line and trying to rip off pieces of clothes. They're finding this stuff already discarded in the environment and just taking advantage of it. So the biggest sort of thing that we can do, I mean, there's three big things that I say that we can do is, firstly, don't litter. That's a big one. Secondly, if you do see litter, pick it up or dispose of it correctly. And then the third thing is to keep supporting legislation towards, you know, the use of natural materials and, you know, the use of renewables in terms of materials so that this stuff doesn't get and doesn't end up in the environment. Because, you know, the less that you make and the less that you use, the less fast fashion that we've got, you know, clothes that just degrade after a couple of months of wearing them instead of something that's high quality that can last for years. You know, that all has an impact as to how much this is available in the environment and therefore what kind of impact it might have on these animals.
Well, Dominique, I do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning. Obviously a bit of an unseen one that we wouldn't usually think of, but do appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me.